I'm shooting to be done here. We started about quarter after. I'd like to be done by five after. I'm going to do my best with that. So please do me a favor, stay awake. I am glad the ladies had to sing on full bellies. I really am. Now they can have some compassion for me when I got to preach in the afternoon service on a full belly. And so that's very selfish and unloving of me, I know. But anyhow, Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Do your best, if you would, please, to stay awake and follow along with me. I want to make sure that I lay these things out clearly and that it all makes sense to you. And I want you to understand where I'm coming from and where I believe I'm going. And not when I die, I already know that, but where I believe we're going as a church. The Lord has helped me a lot along these lines. And I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. And I just want you, on the heels of this morning's service, to pray about these things, all right, that I'm going to show you. I want you to pray about them seriously. First of all, before we do, I got ahead of myself. What's that song, there's a phrase in there about what a difference one day makes from death to victory. It's good to have, I don't mean to embarrass you, sir, but it's good to have Jay with us this morning. Mrs. Pugh brought him, and he trusted Christ as his Savior after the morning service today. So what a difference one day makes. Amen. From death to victory, the Lord saved his soul today, and that's a joy to me. I'm thrilled with that. That is four people now in the last 2 weeks. What a blessing, man. And just keep witnessing, keep bringing them, keep praying. Also pray for Jennifer Cook. She visited this morning. Here's the story. We were out doing some door knocking. Phil and I were together, and Pastor Chad was across the street from us, and then Dan Slater and Dan Boschman. You can call him Beach if you want, right? Is that cool? Bosch? I know that's what they call you, but Beach is easier. But anyways, John Boschman was Dan Slater, John Boschman. Did I say Dan Boschman? Did I? Sorry about that. I do know who you are, brother. I really do. I promise. I do that to my daughters, too, so don't feel like I don't love you. I don't love you like I love them, but this could go on for a long time. Anyhow, we were out. They were down. Dan and John were down at the other end of the neighborhood we were in. And then me and Phil were across the street from Pastor Chad because we were one guy short. Shame on you, whoever you are. We were one guy short. We needed one other guy to have teams of two, like the Bible says. But anyways, I'm trying to throw a little guilt trip out there. I'm messing with you. But Pastor Chad was right across the street from us. And we're going up the road, and there's this dog out there on his side. And that was a nice-looking dog. He's an old English bulldog. Just a beauty. And I had never seen one. I'd heard about them, but I'd never seen one. Now, I had an American bulldog. Grace and I used to own one of those. My uncle raised English bulldogs, and we saw that old English bulldog, I think it was, right? Old English, is that what I said? I said it right the first time. Now I'm doubting myself. Old English bulldog, a little bit different. Anyways, Pastor Chad said, if you want this one, you know how I am with dogs. And I said, no, you're good. So the girl came off the porch. She came down and took the track, and he said, you know, take that back to your dad. Well, Dad must have been watching because he came out. And then I came back across the street. I said, what kind of dog is that? I love that dog, but that doesn't look like an English bulldog, is it? And so we got talking. That conversation ensued, and then we left, invited him to church, and we left. Well, this morning, a lady comes in with her daughter and her daughter's two friends. And this was Jennifer Cook that was here sitting over there near my wife, right in front of where Mrs. Pugh's at right now. And they stayed for lunch. The girls wanted to stay for lunch. That's a great sign. Praise the Lord for that. And they went down to eat, and I was sitting there, and the little girl said, you stopped by my house and was talking about my dog. I was like, really? She's like, yeah, you guys came by my house. And that was her mother. Now, her mother lives up here in Brookwood, and her mother saw our ad in the paper and came. And the little girl put two and two together. We knocked on her dad's door this week. Mom saw her ad in the paper and brought it together. And out of mom's own mouth, she said, now that's divine order. Isn't that neat how that works? That's going to dovetail right into what I want to talk to you about today. What a blessing. And I was able then to sit there during lunch and witness to her and tell her, look, you know, what do you think's happening? She said, God's setting me up. God's leading me. I said, right. No man orchestrated that thing. That was God. She said, yeah, there's no doubt about that. What a blessing. Amen. What an encouragement. Titus chapter 1, if you're there, please. Titus chapter 1, verse number 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Let's pray. Father, we love you this afternoon. I pray you'd help me to get to the point here, to be brief. Help me to spare my words, Lord. But I pray that I'd also say everything you'd have me to say. And I pray it would come through clear, that you'd help folks to Lord, stay awake. I know it's a difficult thing after eating and being here for quite a while. I know it starts getting long and weariness to the flesh. But we know the Spirit longs for it and needs it. And so we pray, Lord, for your unction. I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to the people that are here. I pray that you'd stir them up to serve the Lord and to be the kind of Christians we're supposed to be, and to be the church you want us to be. Lord, I can do my best and spin my wheels to see all these things happen, but there comes a limit to what I can do. But Lord, there's no limit to what you can do. And Father, the only problem is sometimes we get in the way because we're just too lazy. So I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to get to work. I pray that you'd just put a burden on the hearts of your people for people, and that we could truly be a church that loves Jesus Christ first of all, that meditates in and preaches and lives by and studies and loves the words of God, and that the word of God would multiply in our city, that more souls would be saved and lives would be changed and more people would learn the Bible. We ask you, Father, to do these things through us. Make us willing vessels and clean vessels, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, God sets in order some things, and he gives a preacher here in Titus 1:5. Paul tells Titus, he says, I left you in Crete for this reason, to set some things in order. One of the most difficult things for me has been administration, setting things in order. I have no problem preparing a message. I love it. I could preach all day, all night. I could preach a few times a day. I don't get tired of preaching. That to me, there's a lot of work that goes into preparation for it. But that to me, in and of itself, you know, people say they need a vacation. Me, I need to preach to feel better. You know, it's just hard to explain how that is. But one of the most difficult things for me has been really the structure and administration of how do we do this? What is church? And sadly, there's just not a whole lot of classes in Bible college on all this stuff. So I've been trying to figure things out for 5 years. And one day at a time, I've been praying for wisdom. I've been praying for God to show me what to do and how we're to do it. I don't want to be a carbon copy of anybody else's church. I want to be me. I want us to be us. But there are some things that are pretty obvious that are necessary that, you know, people do because they work. And why would I be so foolish and rebellious not to do them just because somebody else did them, right? If it's good and it works, I'm stealing it. Amen. The process is done. Let's incorporate it. So I've been trying to figure things out for a long time. And I realize we've kind of hit a point at our church where I feel like, you know, this is kind of a test for us, a ceiling for us. And I've seen many churches come to where we are and then stop. And let me tell you something. The last 5.5 years have passed like a blink of an eye. And I have no intention of stopping. Amen? For years you heard me, and I actually owe you an apology. For years you heard me from this pulpit talk about how I never wanted to be here, and I'm here because God made me, and all that kind of stuff. And I hope that I never sent the wrong message. I'm thrilled to be here now, and I have no intention of going anywhere. This church is not a stepping stone for me. This church is not for my resume. I started a church with 11 people and blah, blah, blah. Now find a better job. This church is where God called me to be. And I plan on staying by God's grace. I plan on living here and dying here. Don't bury me out back. But I do plan on living here and dying here. This ain't mine. It's God's. Amen. But I plan on staying here. And I plan on doing my very best to reach my community for Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, please. 1 Corinthians 11. Something's been bothering me a lot for a long time. I mean, for a couple of years. God's been giving me some light bulbs. We reach people. I mean, that's been something since the beginning of this church. I must have meant 2 Corinthians, unless I got a bum reference here. Nope, that's a bum reference. Go to 1 Peter. I'm sorry about that. 1 Peter. Something's been bothering me for years in that God seems to have always blessed us with seeing people saved. And I mean, on a fairly regular basis, not nearly as much as I'd like. 1 Peter 5. But quite a bit. I mean, for a lot our type of church, we see a lot of people saved. That's a huge blessing. That's not braggadocious. That's just what we've seen happen. And I praise God for it. I get excited about it. Amen. I mean, every single person that gets saved to me, it's like, woo, yeah. I mean, man, they were on their way to hell and now they're going to heaven. What a great calling. What a blessing. Amen. And if we had kept everybody that's been saved here, which never happens, and that's not my goal, is to keep 100%, the Bible shows us that doesn't happen. Okay? Christ didn't keep 100%. He saved 10 and one came back to say thank you. So if we kept 1 in 10, and that'd be good. That'd be good. I mean, I think we can do a little better than that. But that'd be great as far as I'm concerned. And if we had that, this building this morning would not have seated everybody. Ain't that neat? And God said, I have chosen you or ordained you that you'd go, number one, bring forth fruit, number two, and that your fruit would remain. So is it God's will for us to go? Right. Has that been happening? Have we been spreading the gospel to some extent? Sure. And then we bring forth fruit. Have we seen that happen? He said your fruit would remain. We're just now this year really starting to gain some traction on that level. I mean, well, Paul is still here. Praise the Lord. Emily's still here. Praise the Lord. And then Sunday morning, you look around, there's you know, a handful of people that got saved in this church, that stayed in this church. Glory to God for that. That is my goal. And I say, God, if you've chosen it and you've ordained it, and two-thirds of it is happening, why aren't we keeping more people? Something's wrong with this picture. And the Lord then turned the finger around and said, you're the problem. Wake up and get with the program. So here's the deal. 1 Peter chapter 5. I need to get there myself. I told you to. Look at verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you. All right. Now, you know he's speaking to the elders. I don't need to back up and go over that. I want to be brief. Feed the flock of God which is among you. That's a pastor's job. Number 2, taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I'm not here for the money. Amen. I'm thankful for it. It's a great thing that you support me. I was able to go out on Tuesday morning and visit Travis's mom and lead her to Christ in the hospital because I'm full time. Praise God for that. And lots of things like that continue to happen. We were out knocking on doors on Friday because I'm full time, and on and on it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. But I'm thankful for that. But that's not my motive, is the paycheck. Amen. I am not in it for that. What am I here to do? I'm here to feed the flock and then number 2, take the oversight. So God has showed me there's some things that need to be structured. First of all, Christ said this to Peter. When thou art converted, do what? Strengthen your brethren. He said, feed my sheep. Love me more than these? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. 3 times. You know what my job is as a pastor? Number 1, it's to feed the sheep. That's my job. So I'm not here to be a soul winner. I'm here to serve the Lord. And the first thing he says to me is feed the flock. Help them grow. Help them get stronger. It is not my job to run your life or live your life for you or make your decisions. If you don't have the sense to know when you can and can't buy a vehicle and how to balance your own budget, what am I going to do about that? That ain't my business. That's your life. Amen? But I'm to feed you spiritually. And as you eat and feed from the Word of God, you grow and draw closer to the Lord and start fulfilling His will more. That's God's plan. So first of all, my job is to feed the sheep. But the problem I see in a lot of churches like ours is they're obedient to the first part of that, but they're not obedient to some more simple things. So if all I do is feed the sheep and feed the sheep and feed the sheep the knowledge of the Bible, what happens is we all become a bunch of fatheads. Because we sit around and eat, and get more and more Bible knowledge, and then what happens? I'll tell you exactly what happens. We turn around and start fighting each other and devour ourselves from the inside out. Because it's all about me, what did I get out of that, whether or not that was a good message, and our Bible knowledge becomes the center of everything that we are as a church, and we're Bible believers, and we rightly divine, and we know the Bible, and then what happens? We become useless for God, and I have seen that a lot, and God saved me from that plague. Amen. This thing is to go into my brain so I understand the Lord and draw closer to Him. And then it's supposed to seep down into my heart so I can make a difference in my life in this world. I do not want this to become a church of us four and no more. And if you got that mentality, you got the wrong church. I'm telling you right now, you got the wrong church. What happens to people is they get comfortable. I like a small church. Usually what people mean when they say that, and not every time, but a lot of times what they mean when they say that is, I want all the attention on me. Amen. I think the pastor ought to be my bellboy. When I ring, he jumps. That's what they mean. I tell you this much, I'll take whatever church God gives me as long as I know it's 100% of what God has for me and I gave God 100%. But for me, I mean, we talked about a net last Sunday. You catch a few fish with a small net, the bigger the net, the more fish you can catch, right? So the whole point, like I said this morning, love God. Amen. Love God. Serve God. Number one, try to help people. And what will happen with that? The church will grow. That's fine. That's the Lord's will. That's fine. I don't care. I have never set a goal limit. I'm not going to roll out to you today, I want this many people in church by the end of the year. I'm not doing that stuff. It's not a food drive. It's not a monetary drive. This isn't a status symbol. This is a church. And we need to be what God wants us to be. And the whole point I'm trying to drive at here is, number one, we need to serve God and grow in the Lord and learn our Bibles and love one another. And number two, we're to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, see their lives change, see them get in church, see them stick it out. And as we start doing those things, God will take one here, one there, one here, one there. He'll call them to preach. He'll send them out to a mission field somewhere, and our church can back them and support them, and God allow them to be trained here. And they'll go somewhere to a foreign field and lead souls to Jesus Christ. And man, go out here and start another Bible-believing church at least 50 miles away, so you're ethical, punk. At least 50 miles away, amen, so it's ethical. But go start another Bible-believing church. And we can back them, we can support them, and God can use us to start reaching more people. You realize the more people we get here, if we're wise with our money, not pushing people for money, getting in our debt over our heads, if we're wise with our money and get a good plan, a good financial plan, you guys realize we can be on TV. We can run radio broadcasts and billboard signs and ads. I mean, we can saturate Metro Detroit and keep going from there with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this tiny little group of people has already done a halfway decent job. I went to Java House the other day, and I'm sitting there, and a girl walks up to me and says, you know, you're Pastor Mike. I recognized her. I knew who she was. She said, people all the time are asking me if I go to your church because I wear this Bible believer shirt. I said, really? Like, you know, like, she said, no, like a lot of people. Woo! Praise the Lord, man. But we're just getting started. And you see, the bigger the net gets, the more people you can catch. So what's the point? The point is people. That's the point. Not numbers. Not a big church. What are we here to do? Look at Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is the heart of the matter. This is what I'm getting at. This is what I'm driving at. Acts 1, 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's already happened. And he says, what? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. So what I want to talk to you about is where we're going as a church. How is it that we're going to serve God? Some of you, many of you have come to me and said, Pastor, I want to do something for the Lord. I don't want to just warm a bench. And I said, okay, great. There's plenty of opportunities. And then I was like, okay, Lord, where are the opportunities? And the Lord said, you're the reason there's not more opportunities. I said, okay, you're right. Understand this, please. I am not a slave driver. I cannot force one person in this room to do anything. And I'm not going to try. I don't want to walk in here Sunday morning, tore out of the frame and ready to slap you because you're not doing what I want you to do and I need people and you're not volunteering. I don't want to have that spirit. So what I'm going to do is show you what the Lord showed me, and then I'm going to ask you to pray about it and say, I'll step up to the plate here, I'll step up to the plate there. That's one. Two, I've always sought to not overburden people. Is that, those of you that know, do you understand that? Or is that, am I just thinking, you know, more of myself than is reality? I've never tried to push you, get out here on Saturday for bus route, get out here on Thursday night for soul winning, right? I'm not going to start. I want you to serve God willingly because you want to. So where are we going? Well, let's just follow the Lord. Is that easy enough? What did he say in Acts 1:8? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So the first step of our church and of our future is a dead marker. All right, it's go ye. I think I got another one in my desk there, brother, on the right-hand side, top drawer. You may have to push junk out of the way, but you'll see a green one in there. Thank you. Go ye. Now, here's the thing. This is what I want you to get at. Go to Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew chapter 10. We are not structuring a Thursday night soul winning visitation that you have to be here every Thursday night. I'm not taking the one Saturday you got when you work all week and you come on Wednesday night. I'm not taking your one Saturday and saying, get out to the church and be a soul winner. I'll tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to follow Matthew chapter 10, verse number 7. As ye go, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You guys realize how many people we had here? I counted at least 7 first-time visitors here this morning, and all of them were brought here by somebody. Did you find it, brother? Did you survive? I was just going to send a rescue crew to go get you out of that drawer. You're not allowed to go through my drawers. They're embarrassing. All right, I make it look all good when you walk in, but you should go behind that desk. All right, it's go ye. That's the first step. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ told us to do. So how do we do that? Matthew chapter 10, as you go. Would you do yourself a favor? And as you leave here today, grab some of those gospel tracts. I can't talk to people. That's fine. That's fine. Be a secret service for Jesus. I'm not harping on you. I'm not asking you to come street preaching. I'm asking you to drop them at work. I'm asking you to drop them at Walmart. I was walking up to the water thing at Walmart a while ago, and I seen one of our gospel tracts sitting in the rack there. And I said, well, glory to God. Ain't that cool? I mean, ain't that stinking cool? I love it. I hand people track more than once, and they go, I've seen those. Uh-huh. We're getting there. That's just a start, just a little bit of breath on what we want to do. What a blessing. Will you do that? Can you do that? Can you grab tracks and just be sneaky? Pump that gas and then wrap that track and slide it in the handle and get in your car and speed out of there real quick before anybody knows it's you. But do something. Just do something. In the meanwhile, folks, listen, in the meanwhile, we're going door to door. You've seen, if you've been here any length of time, you have seen it works. And I go throughout the week here and there. So if you want to try to find out, hey, when you guys going, we'll see what we can do. I can't promise ladies anything. I meet with the guys and go. Grace is going to be, she's working right now and everything else as a mother and church and all that. Nursery and the whole nine yards. But, you know, when she's homeschooling, it ain't going to be much slower, to be honest with you. But we'll see what we can do. But you can grab some tracks. But we're going to continue door to door. How else are we spreading the gospel? Well, when you give your tithe at this church, we do our best by the grace of God to follow God with the money. We are going to learn to market. Pastor Chad's going to school right now, and he's a major brother. Digital media production. Folks, this is the future. So, well, that's a contemporary. Knock it off. This is the future. Everybody's got those little iPhones and the little everything else's and iPads. I mean, nobody right with God ever has an iPad. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Relax. Smile. It's okay. Right? iPads are fine. They're not sinful. I believe in them. Now, here's the deal. Somebody gave us an iPad recently. That's why I'm saying that. Now, listen. That stuff is the future. It's just a way to just sow your seed. It's a way you leave a track when you knock on a door and they don't answer. You leave one in the pump, don't you? What are you doing? You're casting your bread upon the waters, and God says you'll find it after many days. It never works. You haven't waited many days. You got to keep casting your bread. We plan on doing radio broadcasts again. I'm not doing it so we can get Pastor Chad full time. It's just an unbelievable amount of work. It's just a lot of work editing those things and making them right. So once Pastor Chad comes full time, we'll start running our radio broadcasts again by the grace of God. TV broadcasts. He's learning how to do all this stuff in a top-notch professional quality way. It's just another way to cast our bread. Invite your neighbors. Invite your family. That's it. Can you be a part of that? Can you say, look, you know, Patrick, I'm right now, I'm just going to raise my hand and say, I'll be a part in some way. I'm not asking you to do a certain amount and covenant you'll do X amount of tracks a week. Just try. All right? And you saw what happened this morning when people invited people. There's 7 first-time visitors. What a blessing. Maybe a little more than that, but I counted 7 quickly from the back from what I could see. All right? Part of go ye is something else I'm going to ask you to pray about. And we're going to make it simple and silly. We're going to call it C. It's a cookie ministry. How do you like that? Fellas, please back out. Unless you can cook. A cookie ministry. What's that? What I want to do is get a list of people who say, hey, I want to be a part of this thing. Sign me up. And what we're going to do is put you on a list. And when a visitor walks in on Sunday morning, we try to get their information. All I want you to do is sometime between now and next Sunday, whenever works out for you, not meeting at the church at this time, but whenever works out for you, and you're on your way to the store, or you're out with your family, swing by the house, you'll have the address, say, hey, we wanted to bring you a gift and thank you for coming to church, a little gift of cookies from the Bible Believers Church, here's some information, a gospel tract, who knows what. This is what I'd ask you to do if you're going to be a part of that. We'll go over the details of the ministry later. I'd ask you to make sure that you're not in such a crunch for time that if they want to talk, you can't talk. But you don't want to intrude. Hey, I don't want to come in. We just wanted to drop this off. The kids are in the car, whatever. I got to run, but hey, I just wanted to drop these off. We wanted to thank you for coming. You say, what difference is that going to make? A huge difference. wow, that was really nice. They noticed we were there. They cared. What is that? It's another form of soul winning, folks. You care. You know of somebody and it's not on the church. I need you to stay with the church structure so we can follow a pattern. What do we want them to do? We do want them to come back. If they get their nose bent out of shape at the preaching and leave, tough. But I don't want them to not come back because they didn't feel welcome. And sometimes people come in and don't feel welcome. And it's not your fault. They're like creeped out because it's they're not good at this and they're really uncomfortable and they're creeped out. And you try to be nice to them, but they don't know how to respond. And it's like really tense, right? And they leave going, man, those people aren't very friendly. And really, the problem really was them. You know what I'm talking about? And you tried. Well, this is a great way to follow up with them and let them know, hey, we saw you were there. We care. We're praying for you. That's our visitation program. You say, what do I do? Okay, if you deliver, we'll drop you to the bottom of the list. And you don't get called on again until, we got 4 visitors cards today. We need 4 people. You might be called on. It depends on how many people sign up. But is this something you'd pray about being a part of? I think it'll make a big difference in our church. We have first-time visitors come and don't come back a lot of times. It's a simple thing, folks, and that's it. Number 2, go ye therefore and do what? What's the verse say? Teach all nations. We're trying to win them to Christ here. Once they get saved, they need to be taught. This is what the Lord told us to do. So we're going to be starting shortly a discipleship program. What I would like to do with it, and Pastor Chad's working out all the details, I'm not rolling it out yet. But what we would like to do with it is, during a Wednesday night service, somebody that gets saved, have them come, they'll be assigned to one individual. That individual will take them downstairs, and they'll go through the lesson for the day. I'd like to try to have cookies and things like that down there for them. So you can connect personally with that person. Give them your cell phone number. Follow up with them. Call them throughout the week, here and there, whatever. How you doing? Praying for you. Hoping to see you Sunday. You're not there to browbeat them. You're there to encourage them in their new life in Christ. Does that make sense? And it's a 3-month course. And I don't want to ask you to meet with them through the week. And I know sometimes the mothers with the kids and all that kind of thing, it just gets distracting and difficult and hard. Come on a Wednesday night and our disciplers, are you willing to give up your time to go downstairs with a new Christian for 3 months and see them through that? And help them get established. If you're not willing to, then we can be a church that's really not going to fulfill the Great Commission. I can't possibly disciple every person. I don't have enough time. What else do you do? I know. I heard a preacher say today, somebody walked up and said, it must be awfully nice to sleep in every day, prepare a message, preach, and go home. You only work about 3 hours a week. And it's like, yeah, there's just a little more to it than that. I'm sorry, but there is a little more to it than that. But you know what? Can you take one person? Not everybody's ready for that. I'll approach individuals who I think might be ready for it. But would you be willing to say, yeah, eventually I'll be a part of the discipleship program. I'll take them downstairs, answer questions, build a personal relationship, kind of get them grounded. What else are we doing? We're teaching them to come to church faithfully on Wednesday night. Sunday morning's a given. We're teaching them to come back faithfully on Wednesday night. So it's going to take some faithful people to teach people to be faithful. All right. Number 2. Jesus said this, and we'll not turn to it because of the sake of time. This is the one you don't want to see. What did Jesus Christ say? Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. How long till you're a teenager? You. 3 years. You're a teenager. How long? 4 years, you're a teenager. Those are our 2 oldest in here right now, right? You guys realize we've been here 5.5 years already? And we got 3 years till the oldest one and 4 years to the second one. How long till you're a teenager? 4 years. You guys looking forward to having a youth group? Going to camp? Having some crazy preacher rip your face off, preaching at you all week? It'll be a good time. What are we going to do about that? You want to wait till we get there and then try to figure it out, or you want to start now? You guys realize the test of where our church is at and what kind of a church we are rests in how hard we work for them. That's it. We talked about service this morning. That's it. What do they have to offer? Nothing. How many times you trip over them? I mean, we had somebody literally trip over one today, amen. Thankfully the child survived, but they're everywhere. Be careful. You'll trip over them, really. They're not speed bumps. I mean, how many in the wintertime, people are going crazy by the end of the winter. Like, oh my goodness, it's so loud in here. The older folks are like, oh, I gotta get out of here. Parents, try to respect that. Let's keep an eye on that, okay? But it's like, good night, that's all I can take. We're so used to it, we got this mental thing where we just block them out and cruise through. We're on cruise control, right, parents? Some of the older folks aren't. Let's respect that. In the meanwhile, older folks, the test of your character is whether or not you love them anyways or get cranky with them. So how much are we willing to sacrifice for the future? You guys realize in 10 years, there's almost 30 of them. And you wait and see what happens. Teenagers attract teenagers. So when we get a bunch of teenagers here and some of these girls turn into teenagers, the boys will show up, I promise. You guys realize what 5 years might do to the look of this church when you walk in here and all these kids are sitting here in these pews and they're teenagers? What are they going to believe? The world's going to start calling at them. The world's going to start pulling at them. It's up to us. And he told us what to do. You're raising little disciples is what you're doing. So that leads me to the next thing. How much do you love God? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. He said, it's better for somebody than a millstone were tied about their neck and they were cast into the sea. He said, drown yourself before you offend a little one in me. Those little eyeballs look at me sometimes and they watch me preach and they're like, you know, when they're scared of me and then they come up later and they're pulling at my leg. And I'm telling you, God, I mean, I'm telling you. I go out on that porch just today and watching someone run out, someone come in, and I'm looking at them and I'm like, that's the ministry. Because before you know it, they're dating. Some of these other singles, in 5 years, they might be married. I mean, we might have to pay for some of these boys to find somebody to help them out a little bit. But, you know, hey, will you date him? But no, no, just kidding, guys. But they could have little ones like that sitting in the pew. What are we going to do, folks? Can I tell you what we have right now? We've kind of dealt with what we got, but it's not working. We got 5-year-olds sitting in class with 10-year-olds, and there's a big difference. The 5-year-olds are keeping the 10-year-olds from getting what they need because the 10-year-olds are asking questions. The teachers are like, oh, let me go check on that and get back to you, because they're picking it up. They're picking it up. They're getting it. We better give them what they need. We better feed them the food they need or they're stunting their growth. And I don't want to go here. I really don't, because I love our lunches, but I'm telling you, you're going to have to sacrifice your lunch so these kids can get what they need. Are you willing to sacrifice your belly so the kids can grow? Are you? Are you willing to teach them? We got about, we need about 2 or 3 more sets of teachers, and I got names, and if everybody will come through, we'll be okay. And I don't want to pressure you. I don't want to pressure you. If you say, I don't think God wants me to, I will respect that decision. I really will. You're not going to be like, oh, I can't believe I asked. That's why I'm asking quietly. Really, this is not pressure. I'm just asking you, is God dealing with your heart about them? So if you looked at the floor while you were downstairs, you're going to see chalk marks on the floor. We mapped out and drew out and we're prepping to start building Sunday school classrooms. And I'll get into more details with that later. For the sake of time, I'm already 5 minutes past what I wanted today, so I got to wrap it up. But folks, will you do me a favor? Will you trust that this is what the Lord has showed me we got to do? And will you not get upset about it? Oh, we always had our lunch and this is the way we've always done it. Yeah, I told you. I've been telling everybody for 5.5 years, things are going to change. Don't fall in love with the processes and the programs. If we're going to grow, we have to change. And folks, I'm having parents that are Sunday morning only, that are even occasional, that are visitors saying, are you going to do a VBS? No, go up the hill to the other church where they don't even preach the gospel. Because that's where they're going. And God gave us 30 of them and we're not doing it. So this coming year, I got a guy I'm going to talk to that hosts VBSs. I want to do it in the evening so everybody can come out and support it. And we got to do a VBS for these kids. Because before you know it, that's our youth group, folks. And are they going to know what they believe and why? Are they going to be able to stand up for it? Are they going to be under conviction about messing around, listening to the wrong kind of music, and under conviction about trying to sneak around and mess with the world? Are they going to be raised pure and turn out for God? Are they going to wind up on mission fields? Are those going to be the ones we're sending out to start churches? Or are we going to be lazy and take care of our own bellies and our own little program and how we like things and just forget about them, give them the best we got, kind of throw the kids the leftovers? We've got to learn to disciple the people that get saved. We've got to learn to befriend them. We've got to learn to put everything we got into our kids. And that's going to mean mid-September. My plan is mid-September to start the construction. Pray about that, because it's going to be probably between $1,500 and $2,000 to build all the rooms we need. A treasurer's office and a church office are going in too. And there will be enough room left over for ladies' fellowships and things like that in a main assembly. And our main, stay with me, I'm almost done. Our main assembly is going to double as an overflow for the Sunday morning service. Oh, you think we're really going to need that? Maybe not. If people don't do this and don't do this, we might be wasting our time. But I believe you're going to. And whether you do or not, I'm going to. So how soon we need the overflow depends on how many people say, I'll be a part. I'll pitch in, preacher. I'll be a part. You see, I haven't yet added another night of the week, have I? I haven't yet said, here's the program, here's the structure, here's the pressure. I'm just saying, let's step up to the plate. Let's start working the process God already laid out for us in the Bible. Somebody gets saved. Here's your next step, a discipleship course. Here's the person that's going to disciple you. These kids, here's their next step. If we don't give them next steps, we can't expect them to come back. If we don't give these guys next steps, we can't expect them to be excited about their church. Breaks my heart when we go away to another church and they're having BBSs and it's a week-long thing and my kids are more excited about getting to that church than they are at their own. And that, my kids love our church. I'm just saying, I see what they're doing over there and I'm like, wow, I need to do that for our kids and I'm too lazy. Be honest with you, I have been. It's like, man, I'm busy with what I got. But I think if we all pull together, we can do it. They can have a great BBS this year and just love it. Amen? We can do it. The last thing I want you to see is this. Teach them what? To observe what? All things. Folks, you know what that is? And it's this simple stuff. I'm not burdening down with a bunch of crazy stuff. This is simple stuff. You know what that is? That's your Sunday morning. That's your Sunday night. That's your Wednesday night. And in September, when we build the thing out, we're going to have to go to a Sunday evening. We just don't have room down there for the fellowship. This Sunday morning, Sunday night. Well, people will stop coming. You'll see the... You know what shocked me? It shocked me that trying to take all the pressure off people and make it easier did not increase our afternoon attendance at all. People are going to come because they want to. And if they don't want to come, they're not going to come. So you can't baby them into and make it perfectly convenient. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm also not trying to overburden anybody. Is that a fair balance? So can we step up to the plate on these things? I think we can. All things whatsoever I've commanded. Your kids need to see you as a good testimony of being in church. They need to see their Sunday school teachers are in church faithfully. You wouldn't skip a meal one day just because you were too tired to get up and cook, would you? Would you? But we do it with God, don't we? Too tired to go. Too inconvenient. And then we wonder why our new people don't stick around. So what happens, they get saved, they get excited, they come back for the service, they come on Wednesday night. You know what, they don't last. You know why? They come in, they sit down, and they look around and they go, man, Sunday morning this place is packed, but nobody cares on Wednesday night. Why should I? It's human nature to gravitate to the lowest level, and that's what these kids are going to do. And in 10 or 15 years, we're going to be sitting down, and you and I are going to be talking, and you're like, why are my kids not interested? Why? And I go, well, I could have told you a long time ago. Your kids are never going to go push it farther than you do. But if you instill some character and instill some right patterns in their life, and then you might see God take them away. Amen? Observing all things whatsoever I commanded you. That means church services. Can I tell you this, for those of you who are concerned about it? That also means Christian fellowship. We need each other. I am not trying to kill our fellowship. I actually think once a month it'd be really cool before the morning service to have a breakfast. How many of you enjoyed that breakfast? Was that awesome or what? That was cool when we did that. What was it, Easter Sunday or something? Maybe once a month. I'm not promising this yet, but we're gonna structure all this up. Maybe once a month have a breakfast before church. Bring your friends, bring your family. I want to encourage my wife and I, by the grace of God, when she quits her job, we're going to try to get away, just the two of us, if we can. It's still in the works. But if we can get away, we're going to go away for about 3 days, maybe 4 days, just the two of us. You know what? Part of what we're going to do is chill a little bit because of the busy pace with work and everything else. But the second thing we're going to try to do is we're going to sit down and we're going to map out a calendar for next year. Here are the functions. Here are the things to do. Here's the fellowship to get involved in. Fun stuff. And give it to you ahead of time so you can make what you can make. My point is this. I'm not like this mean, vengeful guy that says, no more lunches! Right? I'm not trying to pressure you and wear you out. I'm really not. But if we don't do these things, we're not going to go to the next level. Win souls. Pray about becoming a part of the discipleship. Pray about becoming a part of the children's ministries, or at least not being a burden to us as we move forward in this direction. Well, I really am going to miss our fellowships. How about, yeah, praise the Lord, we came to this point. We really need to do this for our kids. This is the right thing to do. Folks, I'm telling you, it's the right thing to do. It's selfish for us to say, no, we want to keep our lunches and we don't want to drive back and forth and we want to get it over with and get it out of the way. It's just selfish. I'm not going to make a late service on Sunday afternoon, probably 5 or 5:30, so we can still be out of here at a decent hour. And by God's grace, I'm going to keep it to an hour, which means I'm going to prove it to you, and I'm going to stop right now. This is where we're going. My wife and I are going to get some things together, some dates together. I'm going to lean on her as my secretary. We're going to lay some things out, and in the days to come, mid-September will probably be one of our last meals for a normal lunch. And what we're going to do between now and then, Pastor Chad's working on having all the discipleship ready by the same time. So what I'm looking at is the third quarter of this year that starts in October, November, December. It will probably start halfway through September. But I'm just looking at getting a good running start at the last quarter of the year. Our discipleship program will be all set. Our Sunday school rooms, by God's grace, will be built. Our teachers will be in place. We'll be breaking up the kids according to their age group and more manageable classes, reaching the kids where they're at. We're going to continue our door knocking. We're going to continue our advertising. We're going to continue our soul winning. I'm asking you to grab tracts on your way out. Invite somebody. I mean, great job today, guys. Great job this morning. There's people here and somebody got saved. Good job. I had gone my whole life and never met the man. Somebody else brought him. You know people I can't get to. Good job. I want God to smile on this. And we got to get these kids going. We got to get them going. And we got to keep our fellowship. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you.